Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. It's great to have you here this morning. Well, it is getting very close to Christmas time, and I was trying to think of some of our favorite holiday traditions. Ryan, do you have some favorite holiday traditions with your family as it applies to Christmas?
There are two that instantaneously come to mind.
Okay.
The consumption of peanut clusters.
Ooh, is that peanuts with like caramel and chocolate on them, or
yes,
marshmallows, or what's on there?
You know, actually, just the old school. My favorite is just the old school that my mother crafts, the chocolate encasing the peanuts.
Ooh.
Simply the two things, and it's just glorious. And then also Christmas caroling.
Ooh, Christmas caroling. I was just explaining that to my nine-year-old last night because we were singing fa-la-la-la-la-la, Deck the Halls. We were singing Deck the Halls, and he said, "What is Christmas caroling?" And I said, "I cannot believe you don't know."
That's valid, but it was especially cool out where I grew up because it was so remote that you kind of had to travel and trudge through the snowbanks to get to other people's houses.
Yes.
And they were just really excited to have you there, which I'm not always sure why, as far as the quality of the singing went.
More importantly, did they give you hot cocoa and cookies?
Yes. Various types of gloriously tasting things. But what about you? What are you, some of your favorites?
Well, one of the things I was thinking about just in preparing for this show is it's a way to give gifts to people who don't otherwise get them. And so at my church, there was a tree, and on that tree, there were these little paper ornaments, and they had people's names on them. And so we each got to pick one and then turn it over, and it would say one or two things that that person wanted. And it was so fun to go pick out that gift, and then you would bring it back and put it under the tree. And then it somehow made it to this person whose name was on the tree. And I don't know how it did so, of course, as a child, but I remember how fun that was to pick those things out. And so as I was reading about Angel Tree, which is one of the ministries that we support here at Faith Radio and hope that you will support as well, I was just thinking what a huge blessing it is to have someone who can give gifts to children who otherwise would not get them. So we get to talk about that a little bit. But that was one of my very favorite memories. And then, of course, food comes to mind because I'm Scandinavian, and so things like lefse come to mind. Lutefisk comes to mind, but not because I loved it, just because it comes to mind at Christmas time. And sorry, Mom and Dad, I don't think they like it either. But just cooking with my family, no matter what we're making, if we're making dinner or making Christmas cookies, my mom is coming over next week to make spritz cookies with me, which are our favorite kind of cookies. So lots of those things come to mind.
Will you be bringing in examples of the foodstuffs?
Yes, I was talking to Ryan about lefse and was very sad to know that he has never tried it. So if you live in Minnesota, you have to try some lefse, and I will bring some and we'll have a little taste test. How does that sound?
I support it.
Okay, deal. Well, today we get to talk about, of course, Christmas, and one of those traditions that I was talking about, taking a name off a tree and getting a gift. Well, that was a special privilege for me to be able to buy a gift for a child who wouldn't otherwise get one. And of course, there are millions of children across America who may not be able to get a gift as well. There's an organization called Angel Tree that tries to connect children who have parents in prison with getting a gift and the sharing of the gospel and during the holiday season. So 2.7 million children in America have a parent in prison. That means there's one in 28 American school-age children who might have an incarcerated parent. And that means that parent doesn't have any access to get that child presents or gifts for the holiday season, for Christmas especially. Maybe there's a child in your child's class at school, which means that child who, of course, is innocent of any wrongdoing may not have someone who's bringing them a gift. So 32 years ago, an ex-prisoner who had served 6 years in prison herself founded this organization called Angel Tree, And she was inspired to do so because she watched mothers in prison scramble at Christmas time to find a way to get any sort of gift of any kind to their children. They would pack up soap and toiletries, things that were available to them in prison, anything they could get their hands on, which, of course, was not much at all. So since 1982, Angel Tree has been partnering with local churches and other organizations to provide Christmas gifts and the gospel to children in the name of their incarcerated parent. And this year they have a goal to reach 375,000 children. And just like I had wondered how those gifts magically made it from underneath the tree to the child whose name I picked, almost 8,000 churches are involved with Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program. They purchase the gifts and they deliver the gifts to the children in that incarcerated parent's name. So I wanted to take some time today to just hear from a couple of volunteers who dedicate their time and energies to Angel Tree, why they do it, how it works, and how you can get involved this Christmas. So let me introduce my first guest. We're going to have her for the first half of the program to tell us more about this amazing ministry. Jennifer Lowry has been with Prison Fellowship on and off since 2005, first as a field director for Arkansas, an Angel Tree program specialist, and now her present role is as program manager of Angel Tree Camping and Mentoring. Currently, she's responsible for supporting the ministry's relationships with Christian camps, mentoring organizations, and other organizations that offer services for families of the incarcerated. Jennifer holds a Bachelor of Arts degree with dual concentration in history and Spanish from the College of William and Mary. In her spare time, she is a martial arts instructor, an amateur musician, aren't we all, and teaches at her church's outreach Bible study. She and her husband, Jeremy, have been married for 26 years and are the proud parents of Madeline and Brennan. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I have to ask what instrument or instruments you play.
I am a singer, and I also play the flute.
Ooh, you played the little instrument that was cute that you could put in your backpack. I played the French horn.
I did. When I marched in band, I could fit my entire instrument in my uniform. It would keep warm.
I did covet to those people a little bit when I was marching with that horn. But great. That is wonderful. But we're not here to talk about music, I guess.
No.
I was just curious as I read your bio. So you have been involved in Angel Tree for many years. What got you involved in this ministry?
Well, I actually first found out about Angel Tree when I came to work for Prison Fellowship as a field director in 2005, and it quickly became pretty much my favorite part of my job. It really resonated with me because kids really need to know that their mom or dad love them, whether they're in prison or if they're separated in some way. There's just something really, really important about making that connection, and I felt a real personal connection with it as well, because I know what it's like to see a mom or dad arrested. I saw both of my parents arrested when I was 3. And while Angel Tree wasn't around then, you know, I know how important it was for me to still have that connection with my parent. So it just really became, I say, my favorite part of what I did.
So Angel Tree, the way that people support Angel Tree then, it's kind of like taking that paper angel off the tree, in that someone is donating the funds that then another person would put toward buying a gift and delivering that gift for a child, right?
Well, actually, the way that it works, that the donations that people give go a lot further than that. The gifts are actually purchased by local volunteers, but there's a lot that goes behind being able to connect a child and their parent through a local church. It starts in prison, and we send in volunteers and applications to almost all the prisons across the United States. And we invite parents who have children that are living, you know, elsewhere, and could be anywhere across the country, to sign their children up. And they get the opportunity to put a special message that they want to send to their child. And that's where it all starts. But there's a huge effort to connect with the chaplains, to actually connect with the parents so that they can sign their children up. And then from there, we also have to be able to connect with local churches where those children live. And the truth is that most kids don't live very close to where their parents are. So there's a whole lot of logistics that goes into that. And then your gift also supports us being able to really equip and train those volunteers in the local churches so that they are sensitive to what's going on with the families, so they are able to get the correct information about where they are. it just there's a lot that goes into making it happen, especially when you're talking about 375,000 children nationwide.
Well, and one person asked me, well, if it's $14-some-odd to sponsor at least one child or to get a gift to one child, does that mean that that's the amount that they're spending on a gift? And how can you explain how that process works for them so that they can understand it's more than just the gift?
It is more than just a gift. And that's not, you know, the gifts can be in varied amounts, and they're all really personalized. That's one of the things that I love about Angel Tree is that this is a personal local ministry, and that churches can really be the hands and feet of Jesus in so many ways, however the Holy Spirit leads them. But what happens is, in order to be able to get the names to the churches and really connect them with those children, that's really where that's what your donation is really supporting and making a huge difference. And it wouldn't, the gift doesn't get given if we don't have the way to get to the chaplains, to get to the parent, to get to the church, and to really train those volunteers.
And so besides getting a gift to a child whose parent is incarcerated, there are also some great benefits that come along with or for the parent as well. What kind of things do they receive, even if it's just support or a conversation or just knowing that their child has been cared for?
Well, there are a couple things that are just really huge. I mean, I know I went in as a volunteer to help parents in prison sign their children up, and their eyes light up when you tell them that they can send a message to their child. Just the act of being able to reach out and do something positive and parent from prison is an enormous blessing. And we have just seen time and time again where making that connection opens up the door for that parent to be more receptive to the gospel. We know that parents in prison have come to Christ as a result of their children being a part of the Angel Tree program. The other really neat connection and why it's so important for us to partner with local churches is that those gifts are delivered personally, which means that volunteers in that church are going to meet that family face-to-face. They're going to, it's not just going to come in the mail. It's going to be a real-life person that's going to reach out and touch that family. And the hope and the prayer is that that beginning with Christmas will go on to have impact all year long. Kids can, you know, churches can take kids to camp. There are mentoring programs. There's just so much that can happen as a result of just this one gift. But none of that happens without the support of listeners and donors who will help us make those connections.
Well, we're going to talk more to Jennifer about her story. I want to hear more about these camps, Jennifer. And we're also going to give you an opportunity to get connected with this ministry. If you'd like more information on how you can support Angel Tree, how you can get involved and sponsor not only one child, but as many as you would like, go to our website at myfaithradio.com. You can click on the Angel Tree banner there. It can give you all of that information. And we'll chat more about that when we come back with Jennifer Lowry. To Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. That's another tradition I love, Ryan, is all of the songs that we get to hear at Christmas time. One of my favorites. What's one of your favorite carols?
I would think What Child Is This is probably my all-time favorite.
Oh, I love What Child Is This. I love it so much. In fact, well, it's my father's favorite song. And so when I was a kid, one of the things that we did is if we played any music, we had to play a song during Christmas Eve. And because my dad liked What Child Is This, there was a point in which I played piano, violin, and French horn. And I sung as well. So I did all four of those performances with What Child Is This. Of course, he was sick of that song by the time we finished that Christmas. But yes, love that song as well. I don't know that I've heard it, though, since I was eight.
Well, you didn't play them all at the same time with all those instruments, did you?
One by one.
Okay.
Yes. One by one I did that. So
still impressive.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Well, we are talking today with Jennifer Lowry. She is a representative of Angel Tree Ministries. It's a division of Prison Fellowship. And I am just so honored to be able to talk about this program because it puts innocent children whose parents are incarcerated in touch with the gospel first and foremost, and also with a gift from that parent who otherwise may not be able to reach them. We'd love for you to get involved in this ministry. We are about halfway to our goal of having 1,000 kids sponsored, and just $84 would help reach 6 children. And if you can want to go down to just 1 children, it's just under $15. If you want to get involved with this, you can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Angel Tree banner there. And we get to talk to Jennifer Lowry a little bit more about your own experience with Angel Tree. So Jennifer, how have you seen God work through the ministry of Angel Tree?
Oh, there are just so many ways. I'm just thinking of some of the personal things that I have seen at Christmas time. Our own church has done Angel Tree for a number of years, and one of the stories that really stands out that underscores how important it is for kids to hear from their parents and how much it means to them was a family that we had 2 years in a row, and the young girl that we were buying gifts for wanted a coat, among other things, and so we bought her a coat the first year, and when we got in touch with the family the second year, we found out that the coat had been a little too large. And, of course, we, you know, felt bad, and we said, you know, we would have been happy to get a different size if you'd let us know. And the mom said, no, you don't understand. She would not take the coat off. It was from her dad. And it just, that better than anything else, really underscored to me how important it is for these children to hear and to know that their parents love them and to know that somebody in their community cares, that they're not judging them, that they're not, they just care.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that the parents who may be incarcerated, if they're in a federal prison, that they're nowhere near where their child is, and their child may not be able to see them for years, correct?
Absolutely. And even within state systems, normally we put prisons in places that are inaccessible. So there's not a lot of public transportation. It can be really costly to try and go and visit. And a lot of times visits just don't happen. It's staggering the number of people who are parents of school-age children in prison and younger who never, ever get a visit from their children. Phone calls are prohibitively expensive, and you can't really email most of the time. So there's this may be the only chance that a parent has to really reach out in a loving way to their child.
So you are also involved with camping and mentoring. Tell me about that part of Angel Tree.
Well, to me, that's so exciting because the year-round ministry grows out of this gift at Christmas time. And we really encourage churches to take the next step and get involved in the lives of the families that they serve. And one of the best ways to do that is really through Christian camping. We partner with 96 different camps all across the country, and we're in 40 different states. And we are able to help Angel Tree kids go to camp for a week of Christian camp in the summer. And we get story after story about kids who come to Christ for the first time, and especially for kids who get to go to an Angel Tree camp where they're all kids who have a mom or dad in prison. They get a week away to just have fun and be a kid, and they also have friends and peers with them who understand what they're going through. And so the impact of that is just enormous.
So why would you, if you could put into words, why would you encourage someone to give to Angel Tree this year? Maybe they are just looking for a new ministry to support or for a reason to give in this way. Why would you encourage them to pick this one?
For me, I can't think of a better way to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, James talks about how what true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And these kids, most of them have dads that are gone. There are a lot of moms in prison, but they're fatherless, essentially. And this gift, and it's really not that large an amount that will impact one child. I mean, if you think about what you can do, what that $14 will do, you could potentially impact a child forever. And I guess the thing is that it's that it's a local mission opportunity, and it's missions right here, and it's also a group of people that people forget about. And if you really want to make an impact on people that are right there where you are, that's going to last a lifetime, I think that you can't go wrong giving to Angel Tree.
There also seems to be just a great expectation, just a hopefulness of giving, not really seeing where that gift is going to go, but just trusting God, the sovereignty that He has, to place that gift in where He needs it most, in a child's life or in what it's going to do for someone who is in prison and seeing that their child is getting that gift, that we don't get to know that. And it's almost an honor and a privilege to be able to give in that way.
It is. And, you know, just from my own personal testimony, there are so many things that you don't know the impact of. The lady that led me to Christ when I was 7 years old, I never saw again after she prayed with me. Mm-hmm. And so she has no idea the impact that she made in my life. But it's touched everything that I do and am. And it's the same way with Angel Tree. If you are part of that process, if you're able to, then you have no idea the impact that you're having on the life of a child, and then on the life of those people that child's going to touch.
Well, and you were just saying from your own experience how your life has been changed because someone took the time to have a conversation with you about who Jesus is and how you can know Him. And look at now how your life has been changed and what you've put into place because of that one experience.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Angel Tree is not just about doing something good at Christmas time. It's a real live connection with the gospel. And that's why we are so adamant about working with and through the church, because we want people not only to have a gift, but we want them to have the hope of Jesus Christ. And that happens when people share one-on-one. And again, that connection doesn't happen if we don't have the support of your listeners and just generous donors who want to help make that happen.
And so the people who actually go to the homes of the children who are receiving the gift, tell me a little bit about them and how they feel equipped and how you do equip them to be able to have that visit.
That's a great question. That's one of the neatest things that we're able to do with the resources that we have. We provide a lot of training, both online and in the kits that we provide to churches. We provide churches with all the supplies and information that they need that have been really honed over 32 years of working with Angel Tree. So everything from sample scripts about how to call a family and what you might want to say, to letters that you can send, bulletin inserts, DVDs, tips on how to connect with families, because sometimes families are hard to find. We provide resource training for churches that really want to go the next step. So we have training available there. And we have staff and other key volunteers who are willing to help resource new churches as they come along, so that those volunteers are really equipped to serve.
Jennifer, we thank you so much for being able to share not only your story, but share some of the stories of the people who've been affected by Angel Tree. And if you're listening today, we'd love for you to get involved in this ministry. You can go to our website at myfaithradio.com. You will see a banner that says Angel Tree. You can click on that, and we would love you to support that ministry in any way that you can. Just $84 will help reach 6 kids who have an incarcerated parent this Christmas season, and will help that parent as well to know that their child is not only receiving a gift, but the good word of the gospel as well. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today we have the honor of speaking about one of my favorite ministries, Angel Tree. It's a part of Prison Fellowship. And today we get to hear a little bit from people who've been affected by Angel Tree and also by one of their longtime volunteers. Let me introduce you to Sharon Denham, and we'll talk a little bit about the ministry with her. Sharon Denham is a lifelong resident of Gardendale, Alabama, and after a 30-year career with AT&T, she retired in 2007 to volunteer full-time in prison ministry. She serves as the women's coordinator for the prison ministry at Gardendale First Baptist Church, has been a volunteer with Prison Fellowship for over 10 years, and now primarily works with their Angel Tree program. Each summer, Sharon also serves as the coordinator for the Prison Fellowship in-prison sign-up events at the Alabama facilities where mothers are incarcerated. Additionally, Sharon is a wife, mother, and grandmommy, and when she's not volunteering in jail or in prison, she enjoys spending time with her family, gardening, and writing. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. So glad to be with you today.
Well, it's great to have you here. So how did you first get involved with Angel Tree and with prison ministry?
Well, the how I got involved with prison ministry is really such a long story, but basically I began to know that there was something God was calling me to do that wasn't typical church work, and I kind of stumbled into this Bill Glass weekend, and on the course of that weekend, I knew that it was prison ministry, and the people who ran the Jefferson County, our local jail ministry in the Birmingham area, they were connected to the Bill Glass Ministry, and they use Prison Fellowship's basic VIP training for the training for the Jefferson County Jail. And when I went through that training, I met Deborah Daniels, who's the Alabama Mississippi Field Director for Prison Fellowship, and got to be friends with her and became a certified Prison Fellowship instructor, and then got involved with Angel Tree, and have just, for over 10 years now, have just done a lot of very diverse, but very interesting, very fulfilling, heartwarming, heart-wrenching things on behalf of Prison Fellowship, prison ministry, just, you know, trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people that don't always get a lot of that.
So we were talking about Angel Tree a little bit earlier in the show and how Angel Tree connects incarcerated parents with someone from the prison ministry, prison fellowship, that will put their child in contact with a gift and also someone who delivers the message of the gospel. But you are the person who has that first conversation with the incarcerated parent, correct?
Well, yes. Of course, the way it works is that prison fellowship sends the applications to a chaplain, usually in a prison, and that prison may or may not decide to have an in-prison sign-up event. Our state prison for women here in Alabama this year did not do the in-prison sign-up event with volunteers coming in to assist. We have a new federal prison here in Alabama now that's almost 2 years old in Aliceville, Alabama, and they did let us come in and do an in-prison sign-up. So you do get to, you know, answer questions and try to make sure that people understand exactly what the program is. Because this could be the, you know, people will come and do these applications. They'll come to the chapel or the chaplain to get these applications, whereas they may not be church attenders. They may not even be Christian. Last year at Aliceville, we had a lady who came to sign up her Christian children in North Carolina, although she's Muslim. So It's still an opportunity to love people, maybe to share. You know, you may not change their mind, but you're still able to show them the love of Christ.
So what are those conversations like when you get to meet someone who finds out that they can actually get a gift to their children?
Well, it's a very exciting thing because even in a lot of your work release type centers, most of those are minimum custody prisons that everybody there does not get to go out and work. And if you do get to go out and work, you don't get to keep much of your money. But the vast majority of people are true prisoners who do not have any income unless somebody on the outside puts some money on their books, you know, so they really have no way of getting anything for their children. So this is a way for the body of Christ, the churches and organizations, parachurch organizations, to step up and truly be the hands and feet of Jesus, really not just to the child, but you're doing something for the inmate parent that they cannot do for themselves right now. But at the same time, the double blessing of that is you're instilling that love, significance, and security in a child that they need to know that mom or dad loves them. Mom or dad may have done some bad things. And let me just say, We just mailed out 306 packages from our church yesterday, and of those 306 packages, there were three sets of them going to children that had mommy and daddy in prison. So in some cases, there was someone else because both parents are in prison. But it's important for those children to understand that even though mom or dad have made mistakes, they've done something wrong, and maybe they're in grown-up timeout for a while, they still love me and they care about me. And that's the point, is helping that child to grow up emotionally stable. And, of course, every package that's mailed, every delivery that's made, the gospel is shared. So you're not only just expressing the love of the parent, you're also expressing the love of Christ to these children as well. And statistics show us that children of incarcerated parents are seven times more likely to end up incarcerated one day themselves. So as I heard on the recording from Jim Liskey while I was waiting, that is true. That is one way to impact the recidivism rate. If you want to fight crime, this is one way to do it, because the more people grow up with the right values, the right understanding, the more likely they are to not commit crime and not to victimize other people.
So, Sharon, tell our listeners how they could get involved in this ministry if they would like.
Well, the way that this campaign is working, that there is a number that they can call to make their donations. I believe that's 855-59-ANGEL. But and you probably have something on your radio station's website as well. I did not look to see before I came on the phone. But
they can go to our website at myfaithradio.com, and they can click on Angel Tree. What's the best way? What are some options of how they could get involved in supporting Angel Tree? Is there a certain dollar figure, or can they choose a number of children to sponsor? How does that work?
Well, you know, that's a really neat thing, because people have choices about that. And the cost to provide Angel Tree for just one child is just $14.08. So most people can afford that. But of course, as you double that, as you multiply that, you know, we know that, for example, $84 would reach six kids, $169 would reach a dozen. And, you know, for very generous donors, then, you know, a few hundred dollars would reach a whole bunch of kids. And I just got a newsletter from Prison Fellowship this morning that has the list of all the, how many unsponsored children there still are remaining across the country, and there's a lot of children still left. So your option would be, you know, if you can donate to this cause right here, right now, then Prison Fellowship takes care of all the other work for you. But certainly I would like to encourage people to think about, you know, getting their church registered at the Angel Tree website to participate a little more deeply next year. You know, our church mails out packages to distant children, but many churches deliver the gifts locally. Some churches have parties and invite the children to come in for either a church service or just a party, something like that. There's all kinds of ways that you can do it, just based on, you know, the personality of your church and how you want to meet those needs.
So there's a lot of ways you can get involved in supporting Angel Tree. If you're listening today, you can just individually get involved by donating a certain amount of money for to sponsor one child or two children or 10 or 20. But you could also, if you wanted to think about this for your church to get involved next year, you can get more information on Angel Tree's website. And again, we can connect you with that through our website as well. When we come back, we're going to hear the story from a prisoner whose life was changed and started an Angel Tree program in his church. So we'll learn a little bit more about how that works and how you can get involved there. Just head to myfaithradio.com, click on that Angel Tree banner, and we'll give more information about how you can bring the gift of the gospel and a Christmas gift to a child in need with an incarcerated parent this year.
The most passionate Angel Tree volunteers are those who have themselves been rescued. Do you know what it's like to absolutely hit bottom? Antonio remembers.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like daddy left them. Daddy didn't care about them. They were left back with their mom struggling because I cared more about drugs than I did about them.
Back home, Alicia wanted and expected nothing from Antonio. This was his fourth time back in prison, and she thought no power on earth could save him.
If you'd have known him 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. He was a very scary person. He was very violent and very selfish. And when God broke him, he broke him.
God visited Stateville cell T-235.
God came when I was in prison in Stateville in cell T-235. Is the first time that I met Jesus Christ. As soon as I got a taste of Jesus, that sweet, sweet taste of Jesus, is when I began just trying to serve the Lord. It's not about me at all anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about my wife. It's about my children.
Antonio and Alicia know desperation, but they also know restoration. Their pastor asked them to head up Angel Tree for their church. That first year, they stretched their resources and decided their little church in the middle of a crime-ridden, drug-infested neighborhood could reach out to 10 children.
We asked for 10 children's names, and we got them. And I was just curious at how many more children there were that weren't taken. And I was told that there were 75 other children that were on the list for Angel Tree, and no church had taken them.
We can celebrate 10 children being remembered, but we can't ignore 75 children denied. For Antonio, it was especially troubling. He knows what Angel Tree means to an incarcerated parent.
That's a very big thing in prison, to be able to fill out the application in hopes that some kind person, they're going to give from their heart. And that gift is not coming from them. It's addressed with my name on it. And Angel Tree is a worthy cause.
Will you partner with Alicia and Antonio in this worthy cause? Can you help bring Christmas and the sweet love of Jesus to one or two Angel Tree kids?
Well, that was a story from an incarcerated prisoner who really felt the depth of not only the love of a person who wanted to give that gift to a child, but also the love of God who was there and showed their kids that he was there as well. Sharon, how much of an impact does that make for the prisoner, the person who's actually seeing that their children are being taken care of?
Well, I think it's huge, and I mean, I know that it's huge because I minister to, you know, women especially. Every now and then I have an opportunity to do ministry to men, but mostly my ministry is to women. And I find that for most of them, their children are very important to them, and it is something that they take very seriously to be able to provide for those children in just some way to be able to show their love. And, you know, I think that's what got Mary Kay's attention when she started the program after she was released from prison. She had sat in prison and watched all these other mothers just, you know, put together what little knickknacks they could to be able to give their children something when they came to visit at Christmas time. And that need to help those women to serve their children is what Angel Tree was born out of.
Yes, I love that story from Mary Kay Beard. Just she saw a need, she did something about it, and now this ministry has grown so much because other people have seen that need as well. Just listening to that story where that church said, well, we helped 10 people, but there were 75 who didn't get help. What happens as we come to the end of the year when the need doesn't match up with, or the gifts don't match up with the need that you have? What happens to those children then?
Well, that's why this campaign is so important. It's because we have nationwide, we have not gotten the participation of the churches really that we need. And so as people give to this campaign, it helps Prison Fellowship at a national level to have the funds to be able to send gift cards to those children who were not supported by local churches.
Hmm. So tell me, explain again, how does the local church participate? Are they actually the ones going out and purchasing the gifts? Are they the ones delivering the gift? How does that work, and how difficult is it for a church to get involved?
Well, it's really very easy to get involved because Prison Fellowship makes it very easy. You just register your church on their angeltree.org website, and then you do that like in the spring, first part of the year, anytime during the year. And then I believe it was actually October 24th when I got my first 200 angels. And our church is a large church just north of Birmingham, and there's a lot of money and a lot of churches involved in Angel Tree in the Birmingham area of Alabama. So we decided early on that we would not fight other local churches over local children, that we have a lot of children in South Alabama in particular who are going unsponsored every year. So we set out purposefully to mail gift cards to those children that were likely to be left unsponsored so that that wouldn't happen. And, in fact, we had all our children here in Alabama sponsored probably a month ago. So that's phenomenal, honestly. This time last year, we still had several that were not sponsored. But this year, there were no unsponsored children. By the 1st of December, they were all taken. So it's really up to the church. Prison Fellowship provides excellent training material. They send you out a coordinator kit that has a CD, a video in it, a CD of all your resources, and gives you very detailed training. That's one thing I do have to say about Prison Fellowship. All their training is excellent, whether it's for prison ministry or Angel Tree, whatever. But they have an excellent resource kit for Angel Tree. So if you're going to have the party, they give you some tips on how to have the party and what kind of games to play and things like that. They do provide a lot of the materials that you can use, like bulletin insert for your church. There's things you put in the package that Prison Fellowship provides for free. And then there's an organization that they've partnered with the last few years called One Hope that provides booklets for free. They provide a caregiver booklet and age-appropriate booklets for the children that really shares the gospel, but it also goes a little deeper because it's a booklet. It helps to discuss some of those feelings of loneliness and anger and rejection and things like that that this particular set of children really struggles to deal with. So this year we got newsletters from Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it's the same newsletter for all children, but if they sign up for the correspondence course, they are able to get age-appropriate Bible correspondence courses through the mail. And we've served some of the same children for the last 3 years, and so we just felt like we wanted to send them something a little different. So we purchased Christmas gospel tracts, had some little tracts for the younger children that had the little reindeer on the front, and then cookies and candy canes on the other one, to make it cute. But they all got a $25 Walmart card. And Walmart is just about everywhere. It's why we use Walmart. And $25 is not that much, but again, this program is about strengthening that relationship between the child and parent. It is not about the child being needy. So a lot of people use the Angel Tree name, but the Prison Fellowship Angel Tree program is about the relationship between the prisoner and the child. So it may not be a lot. It may just be $25, but that child still knows that their parent made a way to get them something for Christmas. Now, if you're going to provide gifts, take gifts out to the home, you may want to spend more than $25 per child. But what you have to watch out there is that every child in the same home gets the same thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we have a big problem. So 1 year early on, I had my members donate the Christmas card to go with the gift card. And so I told them, it has to go in a 5x7 envelope. And I had one church member who bought a card that was $8.99. It was so cute. It was too big to go in the envelope. And when you open it up, it had a little elf dancing and singing, rocking around the Christmas tree.
Oh.
It was precious. But that card was going to a child that was, child one of three in the same home. So you can't send two dollar store cards to the other kids and then send that to one. So it turned out that year that we had 9 cards that just weren't going to be acceptable, but we had 9 people in the community corrections program here in Jefferson County who had just come out of prison that the community corrections people were looking for donations to help them. So we actually provided them 9 gift cards and those 9 cards to go with that. So, it's like God has a use for everything, even what looks like is something that's going haywire or going wrong, God can still use it in some way. So then when I talked about this in Sunday school, it turned out that a lady in my Sunday school class actually works. I don't know, can I say the card company name? Maybe I shouldn't say that if they're not paying for advertising on your station. But she works for our card company. And she came to me and she said, well, I can just donate you what we have left over, and we don't sell at the end of the year. I can get you those cards, and you'll have them for the next year. And I said, oh, yes, ma'am, that will work. So last year, I thought I had about 400 or 500 cards that she had donated, and I had a volunteer count those cards last Saturday, and it's 882 cards.
Oh, my goodness.
So we sent 306 packages, and we sent cards to 154 inmate parents and 23 chaplains. And we still had cards left, so the big prison where I ministered at Tutwiler did not need them, but the Birmingham Work Release Center, the chap said, oh, yes, I would love, that's enough, I can have one for every inmate to send to their family. So, see, it all just, you know, it all just works out. Nothing is wasted, and God really is working all things together for good.
Well, and it sounds like the gifts that people are giving do not just go to give a gift for a child, but they go to support a ministry that does so many other amazing things for not only incarcerated parents, for their children, and for the workers who work with them as well.
Absolutely. I can tell you, I have seen the hand of God in this ministry. I had a lady this year that when I told her who I was and why I was calling, she began to cry. And I can tell you that my number one child in the book this year is a child, actually there's two children, but the father, there's two different daddies, and the second daddy refused, but the first child, the reason the mother is in prison is because she killed their sibling in a car wreck. And then I have another child, one of the three where I've got both parents in prison. I actually know the mother. I know her from the Jefferson County Jail Ministry, and she and the daddy of these children are serving a life without sentence for a very heinous murder. I mean, it's not something that we just, you know, kind of made a mistake and had a wreck driving under the influence, which is bad enough because now my sister was killed by a drunk driver, so I'm not excusing that kind of thing at all, but a very heinous, you know, premeditated kind of crime. And those children, I feel pretty safe in saying those parents will probably never, either one probably never be paroled. They'll probably will be in prison the rest of their lives, and those children are going to grow up without them. But thankfully, they are living with a grandparents that love them and that are taking care of them. And, you know, they're struggling with some things, too, some health issues and some financial issues. And I talked to that mother for a long time. I never had known her before, but I recognized her daughter's name. When I saw it on the application, I knew exactly who she was. And then, you know, you've got the kids that you call and find out that who you're calling is the DHR caseworker. And, you know, that's a child that's in foster care of some sort. There's not a family member. And then sometimes the kids are split up among family members. One of the last packages I prepared was for three children who were split up. They're not even all with the same caregiver. So there's a lot of sadness out there, and I just encourage people, you know, you may not have much compassion for the parents. So many people have that attitude of they've made their bed, let them lie in it. But these kids did not make that bed. These kids did not choose this life. And if we're not careful, if we don't, you know, treat them as orphans, and Jesus gave us very clear instructions about how to treat widows and orphans. If we don't deal with these people in that way, then chances are pretty good that they're going to grow up confused and with the wrong kinds of values, and they may follow in their parents' footsteps.
Well, Sharon, we just thank you for encouraging our listeners. And here's the exciting part. Everyone that's listening today can actually do something. It just takes $14.08 to help reach one child with Angel Tree. And like Sharon was saying, a lot of these people, these kids have brothers and sisters as well. $84 will help reach six children with Angel Tree. $169 would reach a dozen kids. And as Sharon was mentioning, there is still a great need. So if you'd like to get involved, we'd love to have you partner with us. You can go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Angel Tree banner there, and that will bring you to a page that will allow you to enter any information and a gift of any size. We'd love to have you join us in trying to reach the children who still don't have someone but have a need that has not yet been met here this Christmas. Sharon, thanks so much for joining us on Faith Radio this afternoon. I loved hearing your stories and especially your encouragements for how we can all make a difference.
Oh, thank you, Joe. You're so welcome. And thank you so much for what you're doing to help these children.
You are very welcome. And thank you, listeners, for listening in and for considering prayerfully being a part of this ministry. Have a wonderful afternoon.